Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you are listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We are appreciative of you listening in today, and I want to say happy spring to everybody. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. We're coming out of it pretty slow here where we live. We had a lot of bad weather last week, a lot of cold, but this time of the year, that's just the way it is. But it's spring, and the time has changed, and man, the days seem like they're longer. I think I'm going to do a whole radio broadcast one of these days on why are we still doing daylight savings time. I was thinking about that yesterday. I read a story one time that said that an old Indian said that only the government would take a 5-foot blanket and cut a foot off the top and sew it on the bottom and say you had a longer blanket now. And I thought about that. It just messes so many people up, and I don't know the modern purpose of it. There's probably not one, but I wish we'd just leave it one way or the other. But anyway, we're here today. And we're glad for that. And I'm glad to see Noah in the radio station with me today. And he's always working hard and helping me out a whole lot. I sure do appreciate that. Are you having a good day so far?
I am. It's going well this morning. We are glad to be here today. And do want to say welcome and thank you for listening to all the listeners that we have right here on AM 1450 WATA 96.5. out of Boone, North Carolina. Welcome, thank you to those listening on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and our listeners on 89.1 FM The Truth out of Watertown, South Dakota. We do really appreciate our listeners here.
We do appreciate our listeners, and we got a new FM 96.5. Is that what it is?
Yes, it is.
96.5. So I hope that's going well for them. That should boost the audience a little bit, but I think that's the temperature in the studio this morning. Noah and I are both taking off jackets and hats and everything we can.
Temperature and the frequency.
Anyway, starting off a little lighthearted today. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 17, it says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. But a broken spirit drieth the bones." And so a merry heart is a good thing. It'll do you good like medicine. And I really believe that. I've known some people that have lived well beyond their expected years, and I think the medicine was laughter. So it's a good thing. Well, we've been talking about education now for, this is week number 18, part number 18. That's more than a semester in college, that you would spend 18 weeks on one subject. And I'm looking now for a place to stop, but I'm not hardly there yet. There's just a few more things that I wanted to bring out along these lines. This has been a real interesting study for me. It's really helped me see some things that I haven't seen before. I've learned a lot from history, historically speaking. I was helping my daughter the other day. She's writing it. She's taking a writing class, and they're working on paragraphs on a writing. They call it a persuasive argument, you know, trying to persuade somebody of your viewpoint. And she had an assignment to write a paper on what is the most important subject in school. And the way they learn is by asking good questions. And so I'm helping her write this paper, and I'm interested in this. Man, I know what the answer is, but I want her to learn what the answer is, so I don't just tell her, you know. But we wrote down all the subjects we could think of, you know. Well, what's the most important subject in school? You got history and math and science and social studies and English and spelling and literature, and we wrote down a big list of all the subjects that we could think of, and then we started asking questions to help us come to the conclusion, you know, what is the most important subject in school? And I was really impressed. She had some really good questions, and we got to brainstorming there, And we basically come to this conclusion that learning to read is the most important subject in school. And so we went down the list, and, you know, I asked her a few questions. I said, can you do history without knowing how to do math? Can you learn history? Well, yeah, you can. I mean, there's dates and everything, but pretty much you don't have to know how to do algebra to know about history. And so you can learn one without the other. Can you learn math without science? Yeah, sure, you can learn a lot of things about science without knowing math. Of course, it does come into effect. I realize that. Can you learn science without social studies? Well, sure you can. But you cannot learn anything without learning to read. And so learning to read is the most important subject in school. We looked at it like this. Reading is the first subject. And so if you go to kindergarten, you go to first grade. Even before that, we're teaching children their ABCs. And of course, we're teaching them how to count as well. But we're teaching them their ABCs and then little words. And it's the first subject. So it is foundational to all other subjects. You have to learn to read to learn history, science, math, social studies, English, all of these subjects that you would take in school. So, and I've said this a lot of times, even before this study on education, I've said a lot of times that if you have a child that can learn to read and read good, and when I say read good, and there is a way to measure reading, and that is by reading comprehension. So you read something, did you understand what you were reading? Did you comprehend what you were reading? And if you have a child that has good reading comprehension, you can learn to do anything. There's been a lot, and I think a lot of times, and somebody, I'm sure other people know more about this than I do, but it seems like a lot of people are either good readers or they're good at math. They're good with numbers, but they're not good with reading comprehension. My brother and I are like that in school growing up. I loved to read. He loved math. He didn't love to read. I didn't love math. Of course, we both know how to do both of them, but it seems like people either excel in one or the other. But there's been a lot of times in my life where there was things I did not know how to do, even when it come to math. And so let's say I wanted to figure something out. Well, just very recently, I just Googled it. I think it had something to do with percentages. And so I found instructions, read the instructions, followed the instructions. And sure enough, I learned how to, just something I'd forgotten. But if you can learn to read, you can learn to do anything. You can look it up. You can find the directions. You can research something out. And so reading is so very, very important. We have been studying now all this time on the subject of education, colonial in America, and modern education. We're getting into the modern education. We've been talking about the transitional time period of the 1800s. No one would argue that education in America was not important. If you look at our nation, and of course we are very young in comparison to other nations, but if you look at the history of our nation, education has always been important. It's always been important across all classes of people, even during the days when we had slavery in America. There were those that would teach people how to read. Some of the first missionaries in our country were missionaries to the Indians. One of the first things they did was learn their language, teach them how to read. In fact, I have a good friend who is a missionary who is a Choctaw Indian. And he was telling me about the history of their, you know, there was a time when our government tried to, the Indians, and you don't think your government will do you wrong. Look at how the government treated the Native Americans. And they tried to get them to not use their language, to forget about their history, their culture, all of those things for a time period. They took them to schools and they taught them English and they wouldn't let them use their native language. And had it, and what my friend was telling me, had it not been for the missionaries in this country, the early missionaries that learned their language gave them an alphabet. And the reason they did that is so they could put God's word in their language. The missionaries, the early missionaries, and still today, were educators in our country. Education, learning how to read, has always been important. And so across all classes of people, the rich, the poor, the different people from different countries that come to America, education, learning how to read, has always been important in our country. Now, I mentioned last week in the colony then of Massachusetts, the Puritans, they passed an act in 1647. We're talking about the very early years of our country. And that act was called the Old Diluter Act. Now, public school as we know it today had its beginnings in the early 1800s. But in Massachusetts, now you have to realize the Puritans, that was the state church. That was the state church in Massachusetts. And so actually they had school laws before America had school laws. And so we could really say that the first public schools in America started in Massachusetts, the colony, 1647. And what they did, they passed an act. It was called the Old Diluter Act. And Massachusetts had a law that every town with over 50 households would have a common school. So they would have a public school. Any town that had over 50 households, there was a law that they would establish for them a common school. Now, some differences. This was all voluntary. It wasn't the law that your children would go to school, but most children did go to school. Now, granted, in those days, the average school year, think about this, the average school year was, I wish we could have a show of hands on the radio. Think about this, 47 days. So what is it today? 189, 190 days? I don't know. No, you might could find it real quick. But the average school year, and I'm telling you, they knew how to read. They were getting along quite well. They were going to Harvard when they were 14 years old, and Yale when they were, and graduating from these universities when they were 17, 18 years old. So they weren't a bunch of dummies. What is it, Noah?
It most require between 175 and 180 days.
Okay, no. So I didn't miss it very much. No. So you think about that. Are you getting your bang for your buck today? I don't know. But, and of course, we realize times were different back then. But they had this law. Every town, more than 50 households, established a common school. And the law was enacted to prevent, this is where the law got its name, the old deluder Satan from keeping men from the knowledge of ye scriptures. So, the first schools in America were established to teach children how to read the Bible. Think about that. We've talked a whole lot about foundations and beginnings. Why were things started? Why did they do these things? To keep Satan from keeping people from the knowledge of the scriptures. That is why the first schools were established in our country. Now, no arguing about this. America's first textbook and most accessible textbook was the Bible, God's Word. There's been a lot of talk lately, and I know you'll know what I'm talking about, but there's been a lot of talk about, well, let's make America great again. Well, that ought to be something everybody's interested in. That sounds wonderful. Everybody should be for making America great again. But can we ask the question, what made her great to begin with? What made our nation great to begin with? What put us at the forefront of technology? What put us at the forefront of business? What put us at the forefront of inventions? What put us at the forefront of, you know, when people go to college, if they could choose a place to go? A lot of people, I had a friend a while back, they were talking about somebody taking their master's degree, and they're an international student, and, you know, they could go back home, but they'd rather get it here. It just carries more clout. If you go to university in America, what put us at the forefront of giving? What put our military at the forefront? You know, what made America great to begin with? And I believe if you studied it out with an open and an honest mind, you would have to say the Bible had a greater influence in that than any other source whatsoever. Because you look across our history, and you look across the great founders, you look at the great people in our country that our nation has produced, and what you will find is that many of them, most all of them, would have a common thread of the Bible being very, very influential in their lives. George Washington, many of our founding fathers, they talk about Thomas Paine. Well, they say Thomas Paine, you know, he wrote, and I did a series on common sense where he wrote, and they said that was the document, you know, that fueled the American Revolution. Well, they say, well, Thomas Paine, he was not a believer, and blah, 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 and all like this. Well, have you ever read Common Sense? It is full. His first argument for America being an independent nation, he uses Bible example after Bible example. He may not have been a church-going, born-again Christian like we think about today, but I'll tell you, he was very much influenced by the Scriptures. John Locke, George Washington, I mentioned him, come along in history. Abraham Lincoln, you know, you hear those stories about Abraham Lincoln growing up and self-made, self-taught. Schooled at home, what did he have to study? A candlelight and a Bible and come forward. Ronald Reagan, same thing. I was reading a book one time about the life of Daniel Boone. Daniel Boone said the his favorite book was the Bible, and he liked to lay out under the stars and read the Bible and think about God. And I mean, on and on you could go. Generals and military heroes and inventors and business leaders, you know, this huge equipment that moves the earth, and you know, you see him building the interstate by the road. Do you know there's a gentleman, his name is R.G. Letourneau, and he invented all this, and I can't even explain it, but what makes those big caterpillar vehicles move? They've got little engines in the wheels, and I mean, how can they be so powerful? A Christian come up with that, invented those things before Caterpillar, or right along with the same time. And some of these companies, it's just amazing. Some of your businesses, you think about J.C. Penney was an individual. He was a Christian man. Great educators. We've talked about Noah Webster's. Great civic leaders. You know, everybody talk about, well, Martin Luther King, and we have a day. You know, Martin Luther King was a Baptist preacher. Do you think the Word of God influenced his life, his way of thinking? Rosa Parks was a great, she was greatly influenced by the Bible and Christianity when she was growing up and formulating her ideas about the way that society was. And so what made us great? What made America great? You will find a common thread. You'll find the influence of the Scriptures all the way through our history. Well, what's so great about the Bible? Psalms 119, verse 130 says this, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple." Now, if you really believe that, and I do believe that, I believe that as a fact, not just, oh, we just believe that because the Bible says so, but I believe you could find that historically. The entrance of God's Word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. It will turn the light on in your mind, in your heart. The Word of God is very, very important. It's very powerful. Why? Because it's the Word of God. It's not just a book somebody come up with. but it's God's word given unto us. Here's a verse I found many, many years ago, and I enjoy it. I like what it has to say. Psalms 119, verse 99 says this, "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation." I have more understanding than all my teachers. And I've thought about that. I've looked back at that, even in my own life. I went to school. I went to public school, 12 years of public school. I've told how I did not go to kindergarten. And now looking back, I thank the Lord for that. But anyway, I had that. I had that basic knowledge. But I have learned so much more since I got out of school. And I've learned some things my teachers didn't know. Some of my teachers thought we come from monkeys. I've learned differently since I got out of school. I was always confused, and I found out they lied to me. They lied to me about those things. I could not, in my mind, I just believe what they told me. They told us about cavemen and all of this stuff. But I go to church, and I'm learning about Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve came before the cavemen, and I'm thinking in my mind, Adam and Eve were smart. They could talk. They lived in houses in the Bible. And then we come along and they're telling us we came from. And I could not rectify. I could not parallel those things in my mind. It got me to studying. It got me to searching and digging in God's word till I found some answers. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. The entrance of God's word gives light. Do you know Christopher Columbus? You think that his history and what he did was pretty important? Well, we have a day every year in October. I thought for a long time that was a holiday for my birthday, but actually it was Columbus Day. My birthday lands around Columbus Day. And I'm just kidding about that, but we have a Columbus Day. And when Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492, there were people that were saying, "Hey, Chris, I don't think you should do that. The earth is flat, and you will fall off the edge of the earth, and you'll never come back. And, this is crazy. This is crazy what you're doing." Christopher Columbus found his inspiration and faith to sail unto the great unknown to them at that time from the Bible. From God's word. He found faith in God's word that the earth was round, and if you sailed in one direction, you would come back. If you went far enough, long enough, you'd come back in the other direction. He had read in the Bible about the isles of the Gentiles, and so he believed there were other lands out there that had not yet been discovered. He had also read in the Bible, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22, where the Bible says, "It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth." What does that mean? It means the earth is round, just like we know it to be today. The earth is round. The earth is a circle. It is not flat. You will not fall off the edge of it. If you go east, you'll eventually come back where you started from if you go to the equator. And so we realize this today, but God said that in his word 700 years B.C., 2100 years before Columbus come along and supposedly discovered that the earth was round. I say all that to say this, the scriptures are pretty important. I'm glad that Christopher Columbus had access to the scriptures. The entrance of God's word gives light. Another example, I'm talking about the importance of reading, not just reading anything, but the importance of reading God's word. In the 1800s, there's a man named Matthew F. Maury. And Matthew Maury became the head of the United States Navy's Department of Charts and Instruments. He is responsible for mapping out the currents in the ocean, the wind currents, compiling logbooks from ships. He took logbooks from different ships from all over and compiled the data from that to literally create maps of the sea. Now, what gave him his inspiration to come to the idea, you know, I believe there's ways to travel in the ocean that are better than other ways. He believed that there were currents that would carry ships along. And of course, we know that today because we know about shipping lanes. We know about, for example, the Gulf Stream. And, you know, there's all kinds of streams and currents and shipping lanes that ships use. And he came up and compiled all this information together, but he gathered his inspiration from the Bible. He was reading one day in Psalms chapter 8. And the Bible says in Psalms chapter 8, verse number 4, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas." Now, you and I might read that and we might think nothing of it, but when Mr. Maury saw that phrase in verse number 8, "and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas," he began to think to himself, I wonder if there are really paths in the seas. And that was the inspiration for him compiling all this data together and mapping out the currents in the ocean that are still used and known today. But a Christian discovered that. He found his inspiration from the Bible, God's Word. I would say that's pretty important. The point that I'm getting to today is that God's Word is light and truth. And of course, educationally, we are interested in reading. We want people to learn how to read, but originally in our country, specifically in our country, they were interested that people would learn to read so that they could read God's Word. Of course, there's the greatest knowledge of all, and that's that you find eternal life in the Bible through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's the greatest knowledge you can come to know, is the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we've said this many times, education to begin with was moral and religious, and it emphasized reading and writing and arithmetic, and it was controlled by the home. It was centered around God, and they had a very high literacy rate. But beginning in our country in 1962, something drastically changed, and ever since then, and research has been done on this, and ever since the early 1960s, our education in America has gone down scholastically, morally. I mean, it's just what happened in our country that was such a blow to our educational system. What you'll find is in 1962, the Supreme Court took prayer out of the school. Wasn't long after that, they booted Bible reading out of the school. They took the light away. Yeah, you're still learning to read, but what are you learning to read? And so now education is amoral. Amoral is just the same thing as immoral because it says there's no right and no wrong. It is irreligious, which means anti-religious. It's state-controlled, man-centered, and there's a high rate of illiteracy. These things didn't happen overnight, but they have happened, and so we're discovering some things. I appreciate you listening in today. I see your time is quickly come and gone. Noah's going to come, give the contact information. We do appreciate you listening in today. Hope you have a great day, and God bless you is our prayer.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us through our church phone number at 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.